Name of one God, Holy Trinity. Amen. Cindy and I were out at the Murray Ranch on Tuesday evening for the Spirit of Conservation Awards, and it was fun, and I got to chat it up with my celebrity crush, Jimmy Chin, who was the award winner that evening. The poor guy was surrounded by wannabe adventurers like me, and he was so gracious and so humble, and it was wonderful. I don't know if you have been out to Murray, but it is a magical place, and Olas and Marty Murray worked so hard at creating a place where deep dialogue, where meaningful conversations could take place, especially around conservation. And Teton Science Schools has been so generous to me, allowing me to use that space from time to time when I need to change up my scenery to think through strategies or issues, or maybe I need to address a piece of writing and I need to do that without the interruption of the office and the busyness that happens in and around this campus. And we also used Murray for our staff and vestry retreat in October. It's just an absolutely magical place. If you haven't been there, I would encourage you to go and take a stroll through that wonderful campus. Usually when I go up there, I spend the day hosted by my pal Josh Clayman. Josh works for Teton Science Schools. Many of you know Josh. He's also the prayer leader for the Jackson Hole Jewish community, and he and I got to team up at a Shabbat service last October where many of you attended. And because Teton Science Schools and Murray can't just let a Yehu like me be out in that place by himself, it's usually Josh who comes and babysits me in that place. And he's so gracious and generous. He'll set me up in a cabin and make sure that I have everything I need for the day, and then he wanders off to spend the rest of his work day in the offices out there. It's a very generous move on the part of my friend Josh. So anyway, we're out at Murray on Tuesday night, and it's a wonderful evening, tons of cool people, lots of y'all were there, many of our friends, and I'm chatting with some friends who asked me if I had ever been to Murray before, and so I tell them that I have, and I explain to them that my friend Josh has made that happen for me, and then I tell them what is true. I tell them, did you know Josh Clayman is the nicest person in Jackson Hole? I'm not joking, of course. He is the nicest person in Jackson Hole, but the conversation winds around eventually to, well, you know, Jimmy, you're really nice too. I take this somewhat defended position of, no, I'm not. You just see me that way because of my role. You should see me when I'm behind the wheel of my truck, stuck behind an RV doing 15 and a 55 in the middle of August. I assure these new friends that I have a well-developed grumpy side that flourishes toward the end of August at the height of the end of our summer season. And you know, we sort of laugh it off because these friends that I am making don't know me all that well, and they can't imagine that I or any other priest or rabbi for that matter would ever get upset. And I should say, if because I talk about love so much, if I have accidentally led any of you to believe that I don't become angry or frustrated or sad or distressed or grumpy or sulky and detached from time to time, then I have accidentally led you down the wrong path. In order for any of us to flourish, to really flourish, including my friend Josh, in order for any of us to really live the lives of love that we talk about so much here, I believe it's essential for us to have the capacity of the full range of human emotion. Do we want more positive than negative? Absolutely. Less anger and contempt and more loving kindness, without a doubt. And living an expressive life is essential in living the God love life. I know that when some of us read these passages, like the one we have from Luke's gospel this morning, where Jesus is clearly super PO'd, when we read those passages, some of us begin to question, well, is this man Jesus really oriented toward love after all? I mean, listen to what he says. He says, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and oh, how I wish it were already kindled. Oh, how I wish that it were already burning. I came not to bring peace, but division." And he goes on, right? He has more things to say about family members that will be separated one from another. Passages like these cause some of us to question Jesus' orientation to the world, or whether or not he is God, who we know to be love. But when I am able to step back from the passage, and I am able to look at the entirety of his teaching and the depth of his mission among us, these passages aren't so much problematic to me as they are helpful. They parallel my own real human experience. They resemble the experiences we have as human beings, reflecting a full range of emotions, both negative and positive, highs and lows. And without them, I am afraid Jesus might be reduced only to gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And let me assure you, he is so, so much more than that. It's also important for us to have a deeper sense of what is so upsetting to Jesus in this part of the narrative, for us to understand where we are in the story, both the story of the Bible and in the story of our lives together. If you were to look back into Luke, you can see this building. It builds through this morning's reading and onward. And if we were to turn back a chapter, we see Jesus teaching us how to pray, expressly directing us toward our daily bread, which of course is the building up of a life reliant on God. We would witness him losing his temper another time. He's eating with the religious authority of the day, who criticizes Jesus for coming to the dinner table and not washing his hands. They claim he's not observing God's rules, God's law, and he excoriates them for being hypocritical, for washing their hands before supper, for sitting on the front row of the church while not loving each other and not loving their neighbors. He says, get this, this is amazing. Jesus is amazingly articulate with his put downs. This is absolutely amazing. He says to them in this moment of time when they have criticized him for not washing his hands, and he excoriates them for like just pretending that they're faithful. He says, "You are like unmarked graves which people walk over without even knowing it." Oh my gosh. And you're like, whoa, Jesus, like, pump the brakes. Somebody's gonna get killed here. He goes on. He He warns his followers not to listen to the religious authority who talk about God but don't embody the loving principles that God narrates through the law and the prophets. He gives us that parable of the rich man who tears down his barns to build bigger ones to hold and store his wealth, only to die that very night. He reminds us to consider the lilies of the field and how they don't labor or spin. Yet even Solomon in all his splendor was not dressed as beautifully as one of these flowers. He delivers that beautiful, rich line, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good will to give you the kingdom," assuring us that he is with us, encouraging us to stay in this life of love. He tells us to be dressed and ready, ready to roll, ready for liberation and God's liberating love, echoing Exodus and how Israel is instructed to eat that meal, loins girded, or we would say today, belts buckled, shoes tied, staff in hand, standing up, eating with our hands. Stay alert, he advises. Opportunity for love is all around us. And then he takes off after the clean-handed religious authority again with the passage that we have from this morning. And so we have to ask ourselves this question that we do from time to time. What does this have to do with us? 2019, first few days of fall, winter coming, Jackson, Wyoming. And I would just respond to you with everything. It has everything to do with us. The groups of people Jesus is criticizing, the groups of people Jesus is so upset with, are people who claim to be loving but share no real love in the world. Those who find themselves on the wrong end of his frustration are those who say they are dependent upon God alone, but they are only dependent upon themselves. The groups on the other side of Jesus's wagging finger are those who claim to have faith, but their faith is not at all embodied in any real way on the outside of their lives. You see, Jesus is trying to move us here, to move us as a group of people, as a family of people, as a tribe. He is trying to move us into a real life of love, not a life that is just nice on the outside and tepid on the inside. Jesus is trying to tell us, in order to be a lover, in order to be a real lover in the world, in order to live an extraordinarily loving life, we have to get our hands dirty. It's a requirement. I love that. I love that he's just like, well, I won't wash my hands, and maybe, just maybe, they'll get it. They don't get it. Jesus knows. He knows love is not tidy. He knows the real life of love can both cause and confront division. He knows what we have been given also, and he expects us to use it. And he understands that it is not always nice. If we lose it from time to time, well, we do. We do. I bet even my friend Josh loses it from time to time. Church, we have some real history here. Some real loving history. We have 109 years of love in this family. You, we have shown great love for this valley, for the people who live here, for the creatures that occupy it, and for those who visit this sacred place. Each who lives here and each who visits here is beloved, of course, no matter their behavior. Each is beloved. And our care for this valley and all who live here and all who visit here, our care for the creatures and the land, and our respect for those who came before us here, that will define us. It is not our belief that will define us. It's not what and how we think that will define us. It's how we embody the faith, how we live this life of love on the outside. That is how we will be defined. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, he says. We will not dim our light. Not on my watch. No way. And you wouldn't have it anyway. We have clean, soft hearts. And we have dirty hands. That's how we roll here. Amen.